This is the Children's Home Hour, originating in Bristol, Tennessee. This is Brother Mike Nixon, and I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast today. Thank you for joining us and count it a privilege of ours to come into your place of listening. And we trust the broadcast to be a blessing to you. I'd like to begin it with a word of prayer, so if you could, pray with us. Father, as we bow before you, we come to you today, Lord, and we need you, Lord. We can't do nothing without you, Lord. God, we just don't know how or what to do, Father. We just depend upon you, Lord, to give us the strength and the encouragement that we need. Lord, I pray today that you'd bless this broadcast, bless each and every listener, Lord, that joins us today. I ask you, Lord, that you'd supply according to your riches and glory. I ask you, Father, Lord, to be with all the missionaries and the mission work. I ask you to just continue, Lord, to lead us and guide us, Lord. We will thank you for all that you do, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brethren, let me make just a few real quick announcements concerning the work that we're engaged in. I'd like to ask you, if you would, continue to pray for our children's homes, the one here in Bristol, Tennessee, one in North India, one in South India, as well as the one in Romania, and the feeding centers in Romania and Bulgaria. And please continue to pray for our missionaries in those regions, Romania, Bulgaria, as well as the Ukraine, and all of the things that's going on around the world, that the Lord would just have his will and his way in it. Now, I do want to mention just a few things. We're trying to gather some money together to feed the folks in Romania and Bulgaria, as we have several churches there, and most of these churches are very poor. There's just no financial aid there for them. And so we try to get each family in those churches 110 pounds of flour, 5 liters of oil. And when other things are available, lentils and different things, we have opportunity to get those for them also. And we try to do that in special occasions. So anyway, we're trying to get the money together for that. Most of the time, it takes about $35 to get a family that amount of food, which once again is 110 pounds of flour and 5 liters of oil, and that'll help them through the hard part of the winter. And most of the time, it's around 2,000 families, which is equivalent to about $70,000 because the exchange rate changes. We have fluctuation in prices for the flour and oil. And so anyway, I'll let you know more about that as I find out. But if you'd like to help us with this, we'd greatly appreciate it. We've been doing this for several years. Let me rephrase that. The Lord has been doing this for several years. He's the one that has always supplied, and we're so grateful and thankful to him. I'm glad that he allows us just to have a little part in it. And so if you would, please remember this. And then also our feeding centers where we feed the children daily over there. Once again, most of these are in very poor villages. And if it wasn't for these feeding centers, some of the young'uns, they wouldn't have anything to eat for the day. But anyway, the Lord has been taking care of that. And last month we were a little bit short on the money, but was able to make it up. And so we ask you to please be mindful of this and pray about it. If the Lord would put it on your heart to help in this, we'd greatly appreciate it. Be very thankful. And maybe you mentioned it to someone else also. And we're just telling the Lord and telling you so it get on people's hearts. And we're so thankful that we have people that listen and listen to the Lord also, not just the broadcast, but listen to him and are able to help in prayers and finances. And we want to thank you for that. And most of all, if you'd pray for us, we'd greatly appreciate that. But I want to give you our mailing addresses this week. If you would, write us at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. Or if you could write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And at this time, we're going to go to the auditorium of the Brookside Baptist Church, and we trust that you enjoyed the message.
There's a
If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. And I guess the focus on most everybody's lives and the things I've been reading and seeing, everybody's looking at Israel. And I've been thinking about Israel all week. I want to preach on Israel just a little bit this morning. And here's the thing. I've been looking at it from the news perspective. I was looking at Israel. I seen Iran's perspective on it. I've heard China talking about their perspective on it. I've heard our president speaking of his perspective on it. I've seen them in the college campuses and everywhere else talking about what, you know, they're taking the Palestinian side or the Israeli side. I've looked at it from all these different views. Now I want to look at it from God's view. Because it really don't matter what anybody else thinks about Israel, but it does matter what the Lord thinks.
Amen.
And I said it before Sunday school this morning. You got a crowd that the Bible said back in Genesis chapter 12, I believe it was, when God promised Abraham a seed, and he didn't have any. But he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to bless those that bless thee, and I'm going to curse those that curse thee. And there's a crowd that's they've got their opinions on Israel. I want to say this real quickly. They're either entering into a blessing or a cursing.
Amen.
And so be careful what you believe. Don't take it exactly from me or the other news outlets or anybody else. You better take it from the Word of God and find out what God thinks about Israel. Look at it and understand the things that come along with it. And I believe this nation is here because of Israel. I believe we helped Israel out of, God put it here for a reason.
Yes, sir.
And but anyway, I want to look at this just for a little bit. And I'd like to take time and look at about three chapters here. Don't worry, I ain't going to preach that long. I can't see that good. But anyway, I want to look at a few verses in these chapters. And I want to start looking just for the sake of time. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. And it said, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now I noticed some things that's taking place over in Israel right now. Y'all know that they've got the Welland Wall over there, and they've been going to it again since about 1948 and all that. But there's a spirit of prayer that's going on in Israel right now.
Amen.
They're calling out to their Father.
Yes, sir.
Now, I do want to say this real quickly, because we got some songs, and I don't even like them to sing them around here, and I try to stop them from singing them. I don't care nothing about this adoption business when it comes to the Gentiles.
Amen.
Because us Gentiles, listen to me, you're not adopted into the family of God. You're not. You've been born again. And I'll read that to you. I don't want to just leave you hanging there. I know we got, you know, real moving songs that we sing about how that we were adopted into the family and we was adopted. But let me read this to you to clarify that for you. It said in verse 4 of chapter 9, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption. The adoption does not pertain to us Gentiles. We were born again. Ain't that good? We was born into the family of God. I'm glad I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I'm more than the adopted child here. I'm part of him, thank God. But the adoption, it pertains to them, and they've got this spirit on them where they're crying out, Abba, Father. Now, I got to noticing that, and that's why I got this on my heart or part of it. There's a whole lot of things going around, and they want to talk about the war and all that, but I got to thinking, I wonder what the people's doing, those Jews over there they're doing. And I got to looking it up, and they're having daily prayer meetings now. It ain't just where they're going out to the wall every now and then and taking a little piece of paper and folding it up and placing it in the wall and crying. They're crying out to their Father all the time now. They're over there in the midst of trouble and turmoils and all this, and they're crying out to God. And I want to say something. Every time I notice that throughout the Old Testament or the New Testament, those children of Israel, those children of God, those
Israelites begin to cry out, God begins to move. It don't matter what kind of situation they're in. They could be in a lowly place called Egypt down there in bondage and everything else. But I mean, when the turmoil and when the trials and when the rigor got bad and they began to call on God, God began to move, thank God. And I mean, I was thinking about it this morning. I believe we can see God moving this thing again. Thank God. I mean, they get to crying out, you watch God do some things. God made them some promises. If they'd call on Him, He would answer, thank God. It don't matter to me what China, Iran, or the rest of them say about it. I mean, I'm looking to see what God says about it. Amen. So, I mean, here they are, and they're crying out, Abba, Father. And Lord God, we ought to just park right there a while. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe Israel's all right this morning. They're in a lot better shape than the United States are in. Israel's in a lot better shape than Iran's in. Israel's in a lot better shape than China's in, or Russia, or any of these other places. I mean, they got the ear of heaven this morning. The only other crowd that's got that is the church. But you say, well, I don't know about all that. Well, let me read about it. Let me read to you what God says about Israel. Amen. The Bible said this. Now, He's talking about them and all this redemption of the body and all that. All the way down through here, that's talking about them, okay? Amen. He didn't redeem your body. He redeemed your soul. But He's going to take Israel one day, and they're going to wind up over in the Valley of Dry Bones, and He's going to resurrect their body.
Amen.
Amen. I'd really like to preach all of this. I know I've let them sing way too long. Preach everything I want to preach. But anyway, the Bible said this. Listen. For whom He did for... In verse 29, so you can read along with me. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn of many brethren. Moreover, in whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Now, I'm going to prove that to you with more scripture, that He's not talking to us, but He's talking to them. Amen. He's not talking to us Gentiles when He's saying this and about this predestination and all that stuff. But you can go over here to Ephesians chapter 1, and you know this very well. But it said this, Paul's writing, Paul's talking about He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, Paul's saying this. This is to the Jews. This ain't to us. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus. Now, here we are back to this adoption business. He hath predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Amen. Amen. So, I mean, you know, there's a crowd. I think, now I don't know this exactly. I remembered hearing something about this. I need to probably check it out before I preach on it. But anyway, they say that was Hitler, one of Hitler's greatest problems. He got a hold of a book that Martin Luther wrote way back yonder saying God was done with Israel. And so he thought he'd help him out and just go ahead and get rid of them. Now, I don't know all about that. I do need to look that up. I might be telling you something false right there. But I want to say this. There's a whole lot of people that have that belief that God is done with Israel. And I want to say this. He's not done with them. No, by no means He's done with them. And it said this, it said, the crowd that He foreknew, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, this is how God sees Israel this morning, conformed to the image of His Son. You say, well, they ain't saved. Oh, yeah, they are. Amen. I'll read that to you here in just a few minutes. We'll go over to Romans chapter 11. They're all right, thank God. Just because the spirit of blindness is on them right now.
Amen.
They're blind in part.
Yeah.
Yeah, part of them blind, part of them can see, but it'll be all right. He's going to redeem the whole crowd.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank God. Say, so why would he do something like that? That he may have mercy on us.
Yes.
Yeah, you're in
Amen.
This morning because of that blindness in part. I mean, it's the good mercy of God. Now let me go on here. Because I want to get to where I want to preach. The Bible said, it said, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. Ain't that, they're pretty good shape this morning, ain't they? If they're justified in the eyes of God. Say, well, you can't, yeah, I can. The Bible said in Matthew 1, verse 21, they shall call his name Jesus or Emmanuel, for he shall save his people from their sins. Well, now you say, well, that is if this happens. No, he shall save his people from their sins. You don't have to read an if into it. He didn't put one into it, so we don't have to add one to it. He said, it said those that were predestined, they're also called, they're justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now listen to verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
I thought about that. You got Hamas against them, but God's for them.
Yes, sir.
You got Iran against them, but God's for them.
Amen.
You got all these other nations telling, I mean, China told them the other day, or Iran told them, said you better not do anything. You better not retaliate. Well, if God's for them, it don't make no difference what they say. I mean, I was praying this morning. I said, Lord, Israel don't need to even fire. They don't have to fire a shot. God could send the hornets in if he wants to and run them out. He could send a plague of frogs in if he wants to and take care of it. I mean, he calls the storms, the winds, the rains. Lord God, and if God does it, what can Iran say about it? Or what can China say about it? I'd love to see the Lord just do something here. I mean, just be a miracle in this thing. And they just got to sit there and wonder, how did this happen? If God be for you, who can be against you? Thank God. I mean, I like how, I mean, the Lord said he's for Israel. The Bible said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not freely give us all things? Then it said this, I like this, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? I read up there in one of these colleges, I can't remember, I believe it's Columbia maybe, and then Harvard and Washington University and these places where there's picketing this weekend, that's talking about those Israelites and genocide and all the things that they've done and making all these charges against them. And I said, if they were true, who's going to lay it to their charge? You say, well, they're guilty. Well, not according to God. It said, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they might be guilty, but Christ died for them. What are you going to do with that? I mean, he's done washed them from their sins. He's done took care of everything. Say, I don't like it. Well, take it up with God. Read this book. This book gives you the answer. I mean, Lord God, he said, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. And then he says something like this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Amen.
Well, I mean, who's going to separate them? What are you going to do? I mean, he talks about all these things. He said, shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? It said, as is it written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. Now, you've seen it this week. There's been, what, 1,500 of them killed in the last week. They're killed all the day long. Said, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I want to say this, he loves Israel.
Yes, sir.
And you don't have to understand it. You just need to believe it. The Bible said by faith we understand. The Bible said in verse 4, and I read it to you, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises.
Amen.
That's some pretty good stuff that God give them, isn't it? It said, who pertaineth the adoption and the glory. Well, I want to read to you about this glory business. He gave them glory. And he said in verse 22, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endureth with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And he's talking about Pharaoh, and he's talking about hardening his heart and all those things. But now he's talking about Israel. Now he's going to, and he says, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory. He said, I'm going to take this little crowd, this little nation, and I'm going to show them my riches of glory. I mean, I'm going to show them mercy. That's it. He said, I'm going to be merciful to them. I mean, wherever they're at, I'm going to be merciful to them. Thank God. He promised them some things here. And it said, in the covenants. Ain't that good? Let me read that to you about this covenant business. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Ain't that good? Now see, I was going to read it to you over in Ephesians chapter 2. You say, well, this is to us. No, in Ephesians chapter 2, it's talking to us Gentiles that was without covenant, without hope, without promises, but now being made nigh by the blood of Christ. See, I didn't have no promise, but he promised them. I just read it to you. He promised them a covenant. He said, this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. He made that with them. Lord God, this crowd, they're out here saying Israel done this and Israel done that and Israel's guilty. They may be, but God's going to take it all away.
Amen.
If God be for them, who can be against them?
Amen.
I know we preach, or I've heard it most all of my life, Romans chapter 8, preach to the Gentiles. But that, in context, that's not who it's written to. Now, I know I got in on that love, and I got in on that mercy, and I got in on that grace, and I'll read that to you why I did here in a minute. But the context of it is to them.
Amen.
I got in on the gift that he sent them.
Yes,
he come to redeem his own. Now, listen. Let me get back over here on the right page. But it said, and the giving of the law. We was never given the law. The law was theirs. And the service of God.
Amen.
We was never given the service of God. There's not a soul in here
Amen.
That was given the responsibility to go out on the hillside and gather a lamb
Amen.
And take that lamb and take it to an altar and kill that lamb and take the blood of that lamb and go into a holy place and place that. None of us was ever given any of the services of God that he's talking about here. All of this pertains to them. But then Jesus came. Thank God. Ain't that good? He's the promised seed. See, there's a promise on down through here made to Abraham. But it wasn't to Abraham's seed. Because out of Abraham come one that was born of flesh also, which was Abraham's seed. But that was Ishmael. And so, I mean, that's been a mess ever since that took place. And that is to say this, everything that comes from the flesh is a mess. But there was a seed that was promised. God promised him a seed. I mean, I got to thinking about this morning. I'll try to be very discreet in saying this. But I was thinking about this, you know, Ishmael was about 13 years older than Isaac. Isaac's the promised seed. Ishmael's the seed of the flesh. And Abraham is getting old and up in years, and he still don't have a child. And Sarah, she's old and up in years and can't have a child. And Sarah's the one that makes the recommendation. You need to go, I'm going to give you Hagar, my handmaid. You're getting too old. You're not going to have a seed. But that's exactly what had to happen. He had to get too old to do anything himself.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So God said one day he showed up and said, I'm going to fulfill this promise. And I think, you know what it hit me this morning? I think that's what Sarah laughed about. He ain't able. He's too old. Sarah laughed and said, ain't going to happen. He's too old. God said, I made a promise. Sarah said, I'm too old. God said, I made a promise. I promised you a seed. About a year later, they have a little boy. Name him Isaac. Amen. Said, this is the one I promised you. And it ain't long. Process of time. Isaac grows up and gets him one. But the promised seed comes out of Isaac. Thank God he had Esau. And Jacob. Jacob was a supplanter. But God said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. There's a seed there that God promised. He said this, he said, I'll make them as the sand of the sea.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the message. Once again, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee 37621. Or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee 37621. And until next week, God bless you.